Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights to the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights to the round table. Our shows are more. We're able. So many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir's the Turbo. All rise for King Shazir's the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest rent is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one but three chat rooms. Ooh, I got to catch my breath. So anyway, posted a video up there in the chat room of Thomas Henry Morey. Just a little short video, but it talks about how he was using some of Tesla's information to do some radiant energy deals and was pulling off some pretty good power. And pretty much there's a Wikipedia link in there that also talks about, let's see here. August 28, 1892 to May 18, 1974 was an inventor from Salt Lake City, Utah. He received a U.S. patent in February of 1949. I'm going to read the whole thing out, but he did a lot of different things, different types of vacuum power tubes, diode types using uranium and radium and power sources, and doped with germanium semiconductors and cathodes and all that. Anyway, he was just one of many inventors out there that pretty much didn't fare so well. So check out the video and look up the Wikipedia article. You have to take Wikipedia with a grain of salt because they're not always accurate as far as I'm concerned. Let me see here. My brain just fell apart. There we go. Back over here. Alright, so anyway, the whole thing is we were looking for all kinds of solutions for all kinds of different things. Everything from alternative energy to alternative medicines, alternative forms of government, and that kind of stuff. And there's a whole lot of people in this world that care about their environment and such. And so part of the reasons for all of these different things is to be able to work in harmony with nature and such. Well, Salt Lake City... I'm not sure, Stephen. Zero Waste Project and Elemental Economy and Free Energy. Just an idea that kind of popped up there on the Mad Science show yesterday. Apparently, there was a another project, something similar to it going on out there that Stephen pointed out in the chat room. Let me see if I can scroll up and see if I can find that. Yeah, there it is. Yesterday, Stephen Gibbs mentioned that sounds the same as a resource-based economy the Venus Project is espousing. I'm not sure. Maybe not every idea that I end up coming up with is a good idea. Probably ain't even a new idea as far as that goes. But it just kind of dawned on me that we can literally turn the world's trash into a treasure. Wouldn't be nothing wasted. And as far as internal combustion engines and all the different machinery that we use, being able to make them as efficient as physically possible so that nothing is wasted. No waste heat, no waste products of any kind. Everything is all used and recycled. Now, I know this isn't a new concept, but I guess it has to start somewhere. Somebody's actually going to put it into into play, so to speak. Such as, I've always had an idea of literally a trash truck that whenever you drive up there, pick up the trash, you throw the trash in the back of the truck, and you throw it up in this machine, and that... next thing you know, the machine starts running it through a different cycle where it's grinding it up and separating all the different materials into separate bins. And then whenever you get to the shop and whenever all your compartments are filled up, then it would basically take it out of the truck and it would already be separated. Wouldn't be nothing. Wastewater or any liquids or like that would be off in one tank, and all the materials would be in a different deal. It sounds like really super hard to do, but you know, if you know a little bit about basic science and physics and stuff, there's certain materials that'll float and certain that won't. You know, the heavier metals go to the bottom. You know, even the gold prospectors figured out how to get gold out of the river by running them through this. I guess they call them a sluice. Anyway, they run that through there, and because gold's a heavier element, it falls to the bottom, and all the lighter elements, they wash on down the way. Of course, now, I guess a little tiny flake of gold would wash right on by, too. Could be, I don't know. Yeah, I'm half asleep this morning, I guess. Anyway, let me take a drink of my coffee here. I don't know where all the rest of the knights would have liked to have their input on this kind of deal. But, imagine a machine, little compact machine, for one for aluminum cans and one for plastic bottles and anything made out of plastic. You could stick this plastic down inside the machine and it would either melt it or grind it down, melt it or even just press it into a token. And each one of these tokens are made out of, you know, their own separate material. Those tokens could literally be turned into a form of money. You know, not in the general sense of like dimes and quarters and nickels or whatever coin denominations you got at your wherever you live, but money based on weight that would you could use to go, like, let's say you wanted to fly a swatter. You know, you could take this, it might take 10 of these little tokens to equal up to the weight of a plastic fly swatter. And so you take these tokens over there to whoever's building stuff out of recycled stuff, and you could use them just like you would money. They'd have some sort of value to them, you know, weight-wise. That's just an idea, just like everything else out there, but honestly think it could go farther. There's a lot of different nifty machines, people that make these machines that you go to like fairs or stuff like that. They'll have one that will, you know, do something similar to that. You put a can in there or, you know, a coin, and it'll smash this thing up and it'll put a little like emblem on there. I got one on my keychain that I did up in it was up in Branson, I believe. Branson, Missouri. And it basically smashed a penny and turned it into where it had a Roadrunner emblem on there. Which, you know, I guess I smashed a penny to do it, but you can imagine that if you had, you know, little scraps of, you know, aluminum or whatever, just one can would basically go through this machine and maybe go through rollers and flatten it out and keep smashing it until it finally brings it down into a little mold and presses it into a coin. It'd be kind of neat because, you know, people, instead of just throwing their cans in the trash, would go over to this machine and basically recycle it. A lot of the stuff ends up in the garbage and just goes to waste. And I'm positive that there's enough ingenuity out there that could literally design and build machines like this that, you know, maybe start off in some small community and try it out for a while to see how it works and then move on, you know, to other communities or whatever. I had a thought on my mind and it just fell out. Oh, now I remember what it was. A lot of the stores back in the old days used to have their own personalized token. Some of them still do. Some of them, like if you go to like amusement stores or amusement centers where they got all kinds of video games and pool tables and such, they have their own custom-made tokens, and so when you go in there, I guess that's the deal. You go in there, you put some real money in the machine, and it spits out all these tokens. Now, those tokens are only good there at that place, so that's probably why they want to do it, because that ensures that you're going to spend all that money you just put in that machine in that particular area at their shop, because yeah, there's no way you can redeem them back for cash. So that was pretty wise of the people at the arcades to be able to do that. Kind of rotten too, because that means you're going to guaranteed you're going to spend that money. Usually if you had a pocket full of quarters, you could stop when you wanted and you'd still have some quarters left or something like that. Anyway, those tokens are being used all over the place. There's all kinds of tokens out there. There's actually some people who even collect tokens. And so tokens ain't something that's new. It's not a new concept, but it's been used around. They used to have little tax tokens. Even the government had some tokens at one point. You could get these little tokens and use them for the tax portion of it. I don't know, maybe it's kind of like a coupon or something like that. You get a discount. And so, anyway, that's basically what I was trying to get to yesterday. Zero Waste Project and an elemental economy and free energy. So these machines, we could make them with solar power, wind power, so that, you know, they don't even have to be plugged in or anything like that. It just use whatever nature has provided to recycle something that you're trying to put back, you know, into the system. The plastic bottles that you usually drink out of, there's a website I posted yesterday on the Mad Science Show that, let me see if I can find it. Doggone it. Do-do-do-do-do-do. It's up there somewhere. Ah, oh, heck with it. It's Save the Ocean, or where in tarnation did that go? Oh, there it is. It's skyoceanrescue.com, and essentially, I watched a video where it was actually a documentary where these people who lived on these paradise beaches and stuff, they basically had tons of trash washing up on the shoreline. Of course, now paradise just turned into a dump. And people go out there and clean it up, and then even some of the tourists that come through there, they'll get involved and help cleaning it up and stuff like that. But no matter how hard they try, it just keeps on coming from all over the world, that this trash, people throw their trash out in the, either off the boats, or they throw the trash out in the streets and washes down into the streams and basically just makes a mess. And so I was thinking, why not turn that what would have normally been a bad thing into a good thing and build some machines that would recycle that plastic and make blocks or bricks or whatever. Blocks or bricks. That's pretty much the same thing. See, I told you I'm still not awake yet. I'm still half asleep. And my microphone don't seem to be too loud. How am I sounding out there, Steven? Alright. Let me see if I can move this without messing it up. There we go. So, if people want to throw trash all over the place, and you got to figure out a way to get rid of the trash, unfortunately, you still got to pick it up. We could even design machines that would comb the beaches and pick up trash, plastic. It wouldn't be that hard. Farmers have been doing it for years. They got these things that they call rakes, and they got hay balers and combines and stuff that literally go around and basically pick the beans or the corn or whatever, puts it up into a deal. And so the same thing could be done. You could make a sweeper that would go down the beaches and clean them up, and have some folks walking alongside and help pick up some stuff too. But all that material that you just acquired actually has some value to it. It doesn't have to be sent down to the dump. There was a... yeah, I'm just tired as all get out. There's a trash company that's not too far from where I was raised that they figured out that they could actually turn their business into a really lucrative business by, you know, basically recycling all the trash. So they built something similar to the kind of system that I'm talking about. And they literally separate all the plastics and all the glasses and papers and metals and stuff like that, and they'll recycle them. And now the money that they made, they not only got paid for taking the trash away from the people's house, but they also got paid whenever they recycled all the materials that they got out of the trash. And then turned around And if you go down and look at this place, it's amazing. I'm going to have to go down there sometime and take some pictures of what this dump looks like. And you would be surprised. When you drive past it, you wouldn't even know it was a dump. Back in the old days, you'd know it was a dump because it stunk. Looked like heck. It was trash everywhere. But now you go down there, you wouldn't even know it was a dump. It looks like a park. They got landscaping all over the place. And it don't stink. And basically, you know, they took and turned what would have normally been trash into somebody's treasure. So, I'm thinking, why couldn't we do that on a larger scale? Make a couple nifty gizmos that would smash an aluminum can and put it into a form of a token. You know, one can. You put one can in there, it crushes it down, squishes it all together. Maybe, however it does it, I've seen the same process by which they did that penny, where they rolled the penny out into the nifty little token or keychain deal, that it would do pretty much the same way. And now you'd have a piece of aluminum right there. Stack of those would weigh so much, and you could actually go out and trade it for something that was made out of recycled aluminum. It'd be a nifty little test to see how it'd work out. Maybe it worked out really good. And so everything that was used out there before could now be recycled and actually have some value to it. You trade it for all kinds of different things. You know, maybe so many pieces of aluminum would equal to so many pieces of something made out of plastic or whatever. Maybe you could get 2 fly swatters for 1 aluminum can. I don't know. It takes some thinking. It takes some troubleshooting, but it would be real well worth it in the long run. Because, you know, you wouldn't have trash laying all over the place. People would know that trash that's in their hand has some value to it. See, when I was a kid, they used to have on the side of Pepsi or Coca-Cola, they used to have, at one time it was a nickel, and then I think at one time it actually went up to a dime. You could recycle that glass bottle, and you could take it up there and you can get a dime or a nickel out of it. 5-cent deposit on the bottle. And I thought that was a brilliant idea, because not only did people start to save these things, but other people would go around and look for ones that people didn't care about saving, you know, because some people, like a nickel or a dime, ain't worth their time. And so they'll throw them off the side of the road, and people walk down the road and gather these things up and, you know, put some money together. Heck, when I was a kid, we used to go around trying to find ones that had return for deposit on it. That same thing could apply with you know, bottles. I thought that was a really good program. I don't know why they ever stopped doing that. Maybe it got to the point where glass was cheaper just to make new instead of recycling the old. But I think that there weren't a lot of those return for deposit ones left after it was all said and done, because people were turning them in and getting some refund off of it. And even if it's only a nickel or a dime, you get a 100 of those at a nickel or a dime a piece, you know, that adds up. Especially back in that economy, because you could buy a lot of stuff for a dollar back then. I mean, I'm only 51, but 52, I think. Can't remember. Somewhere in that general vicinity. But nonetheless, when I was a kid, there was a way, you know, you just place these little feed stores that were nearby that you could go up there with a dollar and come out with a whole bag of candy and a couple little toys and stuff like that. It was worth our while. We even went around and collected up them old wheel weights and took them down to the bait shop and sold them things for, they made fishing weights out of them. They'd fly off somebody's wheel off their car onto the side of the road, and we'd walk down the side of the road. We'd pick up these weights and take them up there and get some more change. We had a really pretty neat recycling thing. And in reality, my grandfather, he salvaged a lot of vehicles and all kinds of stuff. He built his house out of recycled materials. So I'm thinking a modern day version of that would be nice. Zero Waste Project. And be able to use the recycled stuff essentially as money. You know, to trade for, you know, other things that were made out of recycled stuff. Actually have recycled stores that made things out of stuff. Repurposed. That kind of deal. I think that'd be interesting. Anyway, so get a bunch of backyard inventors together and have them start trying to figure out ways by which they could actually build little small machines. Have to be, you know, small, compact one for, you know, each one of the deals. Might even turn into something lucrative for the inventor, I don't know. Either way, if you could get these machines actually made, and they could be made cheap enough, might be able to open the market for them. People would put them in their stores or something like that, and whenever somebody got done drinking a soda, their soda pop or something like that, they'd go over there and put it in the machine and turn it into something useful. I think the same thing could actually be done with glass as well. Put a glass bottle in there and it maybe crushes it up and then heats it up and compacts it. There's a lot of technical things you'd probably have to work through in order to do it. And then, of course, you're going to get the ones that's going to say, well, you know, it takes more energy to do this than it's worth. There's always some sort of reason. It's just, you won't know until you try it. It's as simple as that. But if you could make one specific machine that you could put all plastics in one and all aluminums in the other and mass produce these pretty much recycled tokens that somebody could actually use if they wanted to go buy things that were made out of recycled stuff, your regular money wouldn't, like quarters and dimes and nickels or whatever yours are, from wherever you're at, they wouldn't be worth nothing as far as buying the recycled stuff. You could only trade tokens for it. I don't know. Maybe somebody would take real money for it too. Then you could use that real money to invest. Alright, well, I'm gonna play a song here and try to get my brain awake. So stay tuned, you're listening to Knights of the Round Table.
coming up to tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing and lightning bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, get ready. Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stump road, I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Summer's come and the days are getting long. I waited all winter for the time to be right just to take you along. Baby, get ready. And it don't matter if we sit forever and the fish don't bite. We'll jump in a river and cool ourselves from the heat of the night.
To the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. Apologize for that. I'm wore out, man. It's like, I don't know. It's just sometimes it's a lot of work doing all this kind of jazz, coming up with ideas and stuff. But recycling isn't nothing new. There's been people trying to recycle forever today, and even some cities and states made it mandatory that you recycle, and they had the little bins, and you filled up your stuff, put plastic in one and glass in the other, and then the truck would come by and it would recycle them. But it just kind of didn't really seem to go too far. You know, some companies actually made it kind of profitable. You could recycle. There are still, you know, when you talk about aluminum or aluminium, how some people pronounce it, whichever the proper pronunciation is, wherever you're at. Nonetheless, a bag full of aluminum cans would, give you a few bucks in your pocket, and you could use it for something else. But you know, as time went on, it just didn't seem like everybody was recycling. You know, it was too much effort, I guess. You know, to have these little bins in your house and separating them, and then you'd have to wash out each one of them so that you wouldn't get ants crawling all over your stuff, and you know, it probably just got obnoxious, and then people just didn't want to do it. But Maybe if this particular idea would pan out, it'd be turning it into not so much a chore. It'd be kind of neat, you know, make it like those machines. If you watch these machines actually work, they got a clear glass on some of them. And you can see as the, when you put the penny in the deal, you can see as it goes through all these different processes where it finally ends up and the token falls out the bottom. Maybe you could make it something like that. Where there's a will, there's a way. I believe it could actually be done. But as far as resources and stuff, I think it would benefit humanity to be able to turn, you know, trash into something valuable. You know, maybe instead of just doing a token on there, you could actually have it have like an injection molding style machine where you put your bottle in there, plastic bottle in there, and it'll run it through a process and then actually squirt that plastic into a mold, and then that part falls out. Who knows? There's a lot of creativity out there. I'd love to see a competition somehow or another. We get a competition going together to where whoever can build the neatest machine that would actually put make something useful out of recycled stuff. If you go out there and you look on YouTube hard enough, you'll find out there's a lot of people out there that take things and they repurpose them. Some of them make, you know, like little toy cars out of, actually seen one make an RC car out of using the bottle caps for the wheels on the deal. And there's all kinds of other things that they come up ideas that you can use bottle caps for. I should start posting some of these whenever I'm looking at them, where people, they call them life hacks, are taking different things, you know, that come off of the you know, plastic bottle, like the little rings or the caps, or even turning the I've seen one video where they turned a plastic bottle into a fish trap, sort of like a little survival thing. You want to go out and fish or whatever, you put a little bit of bread down inside this homemade fish trap made out of a 2-liter Pepsi bottle or something, and catch some fish. They weren't very big fish, but nonetheless, still fish. Anyway, there's a whole lot of ideas out there. They're bringing them to the table and getting people to actually take these ideas and run with them, that's the trick. I sometimes wonder, you know, I don't like sitting around doing a radio show and sounding like I'm on a 3-hour rant or nothing like that. But there's tons and tons of solutions out there. There's all kinds of ways in which we could literally clean up our environment. You know, I'm not what you would call a hardcore environmentalist, or what some people would call a tree hugger or anything like that. But I do recognize that we got to keep our environment clean. We got to take and work in harmony with nature. Otherwise, nature won't be too happy with us, and we'll have some issues there. If you took a look at this planet from my perspective, you'd see this Earth is amazing. It's got more than enough resources to support everybody that's out here, and then some. Those folks that say the world's overpopulated, I highly disagree with them. I don't think they know what they're talking about. I think they're just being selfish. And those folks who really don't care about the environment, they don't understand. It's their fishbowl that's being polluted. Everyone's got to live in that mess. Not just you, but your children. And your grandchildren are going to get what you left behind. And so if we can find ways right now to still be able to have the same luxuries we got, but utilize those resources in such a better way that, you know, we don't have all that pollution. Not only are the animals going to be happy with us, nature's going to be happy with us. And I'm pretty sure that the creator of this world is going to be happy about it. Some jive turkey's calling me right now on my phone. It blasted, I'm in the middle of a radio show. Huh. Oh, well. That's terrible for radio. So this is probably going to be another one of those worst radio shows ever. Why somebody feel like they got to call me right in the middle of my radio show? I should have put the phone somewhere. Got me all distracted, flustered. I'm tired, aggravated, trying to make the best of a bad situation. So let me see here. Try to see who called. It's going to drive me to drinking, man. Do-do-do-do-do. I don't even know who that is. Alright. Forget all that. So, basically what I've been trying to get to is an idea of taking everything that we've got already in existence and making it so incredibly efficient that not even the oils that are used to lubricate the bearings are wasted, that they're all cleaned up and recycled. You know, what would have normally been a broken part or old... If you go down and look at the dumps where nobody really recycles, you're going to find everything down there. You're going to find abundant resources that could be recycled. Old electric fans. There's copper in there. There's iron in there. There's plastics in the housings. There's all kinds of different things that could be reused. Instead of keep digging it out of the earth, you could salvage it and recycle and repurpose everything. There wouldn't be no waste. Society would absolutely no waste. Everything would get reused. To me, I think it's a brilliant idea. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one that's ever thought of it. It's not a new concept about making sure that everything that you want to use is, used properly, and if you made them last, you wouldn't have that issue to begin with. But since they don't make things to last, and a lot of things are throwaway, a lot of the old computers and stuff, they got gold in them. You know, there's white gold in there, there's yellow gold, there's silver solder. Those are worth recycling. And even the PCB boards themselves, I'm sure there's materials in there that could be separated and reused somehow. Everything that we take advantage of right now in modern society, all these luxuries that we have available to us, usually whenever they get worn or broke down, they usually end up in the dump. And a lot of that material in there could be repurposed into something else. There are solutions out there for everything. Even those, that's why I wanted to get a hold of those folks over there at that SkyOceanRescue.com and have some conversations with them. They might even be able to turn that, what would have been a negative, into a positive. Actually build an economy off of that. You know? If tons and tons of trash was washing up on the shore and you gotta find something to do with it, they did somebody donated them a deal of crushed bottles, and they turned that the glass, they actually used it to help build streets and stuff with. And old car tires, they used to take these car tires that you, over here in the United States, they'd grind them up and they'd mix them in with the asphalt and put them out there on the streets, pave the roads with them. So everything has a good purpose. And even the yard waste that you got, you know, they make compost piles. It not only makes compost for your gardening, but also wood chips for, you know, some landscaping and stuff. There's nothing that we use that can't be reused. Matter of fact, when it's all said and done, nature's going to take back whatever you don't use. It's going to deteriorate it back into its natural elements. That's what's so amazing about this earth. It recycles everything. And so, even you, when you're gone, you get recycled into the earth. It's amazing how this works. But I think it would be an awesome and a beneficial project to make a zero waste program to where we actually re-engineer things, make them work so much better that they hardly use any fuel. You know, maybe everybody's been looking at free energy the wrong way. You know, a lot of people want something for nothing. And usually that ain't how it works. So you gotta give something to get something in this world. And then a lot of folks are so greedy they don't want somebody to be able to get something for nothing. As far as free energy wise anyway, I mean, think about all the researchers and the inventors from the past that basically got threatened or, you know, done wrong in order to just try to get an idea out there. You know, maybe an idea that was going to make them financially self-sufficient. You know, that's the whole dream. You know, I'm going to invent something and I'm going to get rich and live the good life. I think that everybody in this world could actually live the good life. You know, without all that craziness. If we could build some machines to recycle everything, I mean, even if it broke it down into its smallest part, we got machines right now, technology anyway, that can literally put things together atom by atom. It's amazing what the human beings are capable of if they actually put their mind to it. 3D printers that can take plastic and turn what would have normally been trash into somebody's treasure. You know, a coffee mug made out of recycled plastic. And of course there's negatives for everything that you put out there. You know, oh, well, plastics are poisonous and they're going to leach into your water or whatever. I don't know, I've been drinking out of a plastic mug forever and a day and I'm not dead yet. And, you know, little toys, plastic toy shovels and garden shovels and stuff made out of plastic. There's so many things you can make out of plastic. But, nonetheless, there's a problem out there in the oceans where people are just dumping trash. They dump it in a river or the creek and then it ends up washing downstream and into a larger body of water and eventually, you know, instead of a beautiful lake, you got a dump. And that's what people do. They'll drive down the road and throw it out the window instead of waiting till you get home and disposing of it properly, or drive over to a trash can and put it in there. You know, at least it ends up in a dump that way. But there's probably a lot of landfills out there with enough material in there you could basically mine for trash. Turn your trash into treasure. I'm going to play another song here because I want to try to see who the heck that was. It just blew my phone up right in the middle of my show. Stay tuned. You're listening to Knights of the Round Table. Apologize for today's Saturday. Hello, everybody, we're back. Apologize for the show today. It's been like bombing out because I'm like really seriously exhausted. Too many events going on, I guess. But anyway, we're back. And basically what we was talking about, the Zero Waste Project, an idea, you know. It's an elemental economy and free energy all wrapped up in one nifty package. There's so many different things that we can utilize that nature has already provided. And if we utilized all the resources available in an efficient manner, including re-engineering different machineries and stuff to not waste, and even using every bit of everything, including the oil that it runs in, you know, that basically lubricates the machineries or whatever. All of this stuff could be recycled, repurposed. I've seen, there's a lot of different automotive shops out there that whenever they do oil changes on people's cars, you know, they end up with these big old 50-gallon drums full of different mixes of oil. It's all black and cruddy. Back in the day whenever I was a Navy man, I was down in the boiler room. We had what was known as a fuel oil service pump, and basically this thing would literally take all these different oils that you use to lubricate everything, and it would separate the water, and it would you know, take out any impurities in the oil. It heated it up, and all the crud would float to the bottom and basically filter it all out and be able to reuse this oil over and over again. And so, learned a lot back in the day about recycling before I even knew I was recycling. These big 50-gallon barrels that these people get, some people get them to make waste oil burners, you know, and they'll use that for fuel for heating and stuff. But it's not just that. It's in every single industry out there. Every single industry that you can name has some sort of waste going in there. Even if it's paper and plastics from shipping and that kind of stuff, wooden pallets. My friend Muddy here, who just joined me in, thank God, because I was bombing out, he made a house, a little mini house out of pallets. Recycled stuff, repurposing.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Well, you got a lot of use out of it. It made something that, well, that's it. You got a lot of use out of it. Still,
yeah, a lot of use. I mean, it's 10 by 12 inside. The length of three pallets long, because they're longer than they are wide, the length of three pallets long is 10 foot. 12 foot. And then the width of them is 10 foot. You put three wide. That's what I built it as, just three and three. So the ones on the walls are laying down, and the ones that connect to it on the end there, they're standing up. Kind of all worked together pretty decent, so I made the floor, just laid them down, went across, and everything just, it all measures out. It's really easy to build it. You really don't even need a tape measure. And that's the cool thing about it. And then all that plastic that they wrap stuff in on the pallet to keep it on the pallet, it's a great insulator, and it's free too. It comes from the same place you get the pallets.
So,
you gotta go far and round up very much. It's all right there. So.
So, what do you think about the idea of building a society alongside normal society, I guess, Zero Waste Project is what I basically coined it as, but apparently somebody else has pretty much designed a resource-based economy, and it's sort of like that. I was kind of thinking of it a little bit different, where you take, you know, like we build some nifty little machines that will turn, you know, like an aluminum can into a token, you know? And that token would be worth its weight in whatever material. Like, let's say somebody makes a statue of a bird, and I want to buy this bird from them, right? Well, I got to gather up enough of these tokens that weigh the same amount as that bird, or maybe just a little bit more for their effort of making the bird. You see what I mean?
Yeah, well, the cool thing about it is its value is going to go up and down according to the price of the scrap.
Yeah.
But it'll never be worth nothing.
Yeah, it's always going to be worth at least what the
they can't material. And they can't just print as much as they want.
Well,
and devalue what you have.
Another thing is, if somebody decided to counterfeit them, it wouldn't matter because as long as it was made out of the same material, they're just helping the process. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
The more plastic tokens or the more aluminum tokens or even glass tokens. You could make a glass token. It wouldn't be that hard to do. You know, we could build little machines that would actually do that. Take one bottle and mash it down into how many ever tokens that it could make per mold or whatever. It's just an idea, man. But if people started thinking more along the lines that... Have you ever been to the fair and you seen one of those machines where you put, you know, a penny in there and then you spin the deal around and it'll mash the penny into a keychain or something like that? Little
yep.
Token?
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of deal.
Well, got the Lord's Prayer on one and gave it to my mommy. She said, oh my, come here, I forgive you for everything.
See? And... what's cool about some of the ones I've seen, they got a glass front on there so you can actually watch as this thing's going through the entire process. You know, while you're spinning the handle around or the machine's doing what it's doing, you can actually watch it being like the penny being smashed and rolled and then printed and stamped or whatever. You could do the same thing with an aluminum can. There ain't no reason why you couldn't do it. You'd have a can crusher on one side and then maybe go through some rollers to flatten it out and whatever.
Yeah, aluminum's softer too.
Yeah. But it would be, you know, it'd be neat. So people would take their aluminum cans over to it and do it. You know, after a while I suppose folks would probably get bored with it. But nonetheless, if you was really seriously trying to recycle everything and you did this... You could go there, you know, every time you had a bag of them and stick them in there and smash them down, turn them into tokens and to save them tokens up. And what you mentioned earlier about how the price would go up and down, you could actually use it for, you know, gathering real money if you wanted. You see what I mean?
Right.
Imagine a 50-gallon barrel full of these little aluminum tokens, or copper for that matter. You know, I don't think it would be too much to say that you could actually make these to where, like you had a solar panel and a battery bank that would run the entire machine, and so you could set them outside somewhere, or, you know, make them weatherproof or whatever, set them outside and let nature basically pay for the electricity to run it. You know,
go to the hand crank. It's more profitable.
Yeah.
So no energy consumption. You got to have some exercise anyway. But yeah, that's a pretty good idea. Like I said, man, it's something that they can't print.
Yeah.
And make me, you know, and devalue everything and make it useless. That's the main ball game. That's what I see in it.
Well, yeah.
And, I mean, what happened, man? I mean, gosh, here, you know, way back in the old days, we didn't have money, and we got along just fine. It's after they created money that the need for money came.
Yeah.
Everything was based on your work, and if you didn't work, you didn't eat.
Well, this would be...
But that's a terrible thought, though, isn't it?
Yeah, this would be... This would be more of a resource kind of thing, you know. You go out and buy you a water bottle of water or, you know, a soda pop, and nine times out of ten, when you're done drinking it, you go over and throw it in just the regular trash can, which basically ends up in a landfill somewhere, Or some people just throw them out the window and ends up in creeks, and they wash down into the river and then wash out to sea, and yet all this doggone plastic floating all over the place. What this one website that I talked about, Sky Ocean Rescue, what they were talking about was making things, plastics that weren't, that would probably biodegrade easier, or, you know, something that you wouldn't want to throw away or whatever. And as frustrating as it is that all that stuff keeps washing up on their Paradise Beach, I see that, you know, if it's going to happen and there ain't nothing you can do about it right at the moment because you can't get people to stop throwing trash everywhere, then turn that what would have been a negative into a positive and help these folks get some machines that will literally recycle these things down. You know, even a plastic token. And what I mentioned, an example about, you know, I need a fly swatter, right? And so I got to have the equivalence of the weight of that fly swatter in that plastic, and maybe a little extra for their efforts. I go buy me a fly swatter with some old plastic bottles that are recycled. You see what I mean?
Right.
And I think it would also help, you know, what they would classify third world countries as well. I've seen a lot of documentaries where the poor people are out there, they're digging in the trash for whatever they can get to recycle, glass bottles or plastic or, you know, metals or whatever. And that would put them on an equal footing in that particular economy, not as far as in the regular monetary society that is going on, you know, the regular money system, but in recycled stuff. If they needed something that was made out of plastic, and they gathered up the equivalents of the weight in plastic and run them through these machines, made these tokens, and then they take these tokens over there and swap them for whatever it was they needed, you know, some cups or some drinking, or some drinking cups or some plates or forks or whatever. You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I was thinking at one time, and I tried bringing it forward there, but somebody didn't quite understand, you know, oh no, you gotta have a machine and all that stuff, but I've heard it before. But you know what? If the Chinese can 3D print a house, who says you really need the machine? Can't you just melt the stuff? And, you know, just melt it to where it falls, it cools, and you keep on doing that around by your own measurements?
Well, that's a brilliant idea, because if you go to, like, fish and supply stores, you can actually buy, and even some gun stores will buy, you can buy these little molds that you can make fish weights or bullets with. You know, you melt your material and you pour it down in this mold, and it's like, it's almost like a clamped down pair of pliers, and it has the shape of a fish weight inside there or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so you could do the same thing with plastic, to where you wouldn't even really have to have any electricity. Maybe make it where you could set it on a little campfire and heat it up, and then put your plastic down in there, and it'd smush it into a token.
Or Fresnel lens.
Yeah, even that would work.
Mm-hmm.
Jermaine said on a bentail grinder and crushing mill in England. Yeah.
Don't get his butt in here.
we'll throw him in the call.
Yeah, go snag him.
All right. Well, anyway, I know it kind of sounds crazy, but you got to get somewhere to get some sort of solution going on. Yeah, you got to make some steps forward. And if you could literally teach people how to turn trash into treasure, nothing would go to waste, not even the paper. You know, you could probably use the paper for the fuel to run something, you know, a little heat stove or whatever that would you know, heat up the mold, and some sort of hand injection machine or whatever. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I don't see no reason why you can't do that.
You pull the lever and it basically presses the melted plastic into a mold, and then when it's done and you let it cool down a second, and you pull another lever and it'll pop open the mold, and there's your part. It's just Like I said, right now it's just an idea, man.
I'm sitting here talking about taking them 2-liter bottles, man.
Yep.
All over the doggone place. And, I mean, gosh, I mean, you're going to drink, you know, if you got 2 or 3 people in your house, that 2-liter bottle is not going to last a whole day.
No.
Because that's really not much to drink, so the 2-liter bottle is going to last.
Well.
And, I mean, just a day. I mean, so there's a lot of them. And I'm sure the families and houses around you. Look, man, you can cut the sides off, cut that funnel top part off and the bottom part off, and you got this sheet of it. Like I was saying, it's food grade already. Why not turn it into, ice trays and sell them or whatever?
Yeah. You know? Well, earlier.
Thomas says they like to shrink. Well, yeah. You can. I've seen people sit there and do big magic markers on them like that, and then cut out a shape. And this thing's about the size of a notebook paper. And if you get the temperature right in the oven, nice and low, it shrinks up. But it'll make like about a pendant size of whatever the heck was you was drawing out and making. And those are pretty cool. They used to call them shrinky dinks. There's lots of things you can do with them.
Yeah, there's
see why you can't just heat it up and extrude it into something that costs you some money out there.
Yeah.
All you need is a hole, you know, grind out a hole about the shape of what you want it to be extruded at and make you a long piece of it to sit there and make your screen door edge or whatever.
Stephen Gibbons posted a link in the chat room earlier in the show, and there's a guy out there, and I know this has been done before. Basically, the video says this guy turned plastic back into oil, and he said it's a real simple process. Shows the surprisingly simple process of converting plastic waste back into oil from whence it came.
That's right. I've seen that video. I've seen several videos on that, and I studied it at one time, was planning on doing it, but never got around to it. But yeah, that's definitely true. And shoot, I think it'd be awesome. I want to try it. Except I don't have a diesel engine. So I'd have to get somebody to get the guts enough to let me put it in their vehicle to test it out.
Well,
that's one of the reasons why I never got around to it.
In this video, a Japanese man takes plastic containers, bottles, bags, shoves them all in a machine, and then, hey presto, out comes diesel, kerosene, and gasoline. It looks so easy, it makes you wonder why we're not doing this all the time.
Hey, you can make fuel out of just about anything. I mean, ever since I heard of making fuel on your own, I've seen so many different things that you can make fuel out of. It seems like just about anything will turn into fuel.
Well, you know,
which pretty much explains why GEET fuel is such a wide range of what you can put into it to make the fuel.
Yeah, we live in a carbon based world, man. So,
yeah.
With that said, just about everything out there, if it's crushed in, atomized, or whatever, will burn. So, you know, there you go. But so you could turn the plastic bottles into fuel that would run the machine, or you could just stamp them into tokens. There's been tons and tons of businesses out there, you know, that have their own tokens, and the only place you can spend them is at that shop. Which is pretty brilliant because, like I said, if you go to the arcade and you put your money in the machine, you get tokens out to play the games. Well, two things. Nobody's going to rob the games for the tokens because they're not regular money, and they can only be spent there. But the other thing is that it guarantees that the dollar bill you put into the machine, you're going to have to spend it that deal because you can't reimburse them for regular money. See what I mean?
Right. And you save a whole lot more because it's more expensive to replace what gets broken.
Yeah.
Than it is to replace the money.
Well, this wouldn't be the exact same thing as money, but it would literally be its own economy where you used recycled materials to basically buy things made from recycled materials.
Yeah, well, what I was saying is, say you, just like Jim, his laundromat guy came in at night and took a crowbar and all that stuff, the damage to the machine costs more than the money that gets stolen from it.
Yeah.
And then if you catch the guy, you still got to prosecute, and that costs money. So if what's in there is not valuable, That's a very smart way to do things. Tokens, a lot of places are going to tokens just for that reason.
Yeah. Well, I know car washes have their own tokens in some places. But either way, you know, if the token's made out of aluminum, you could buy aluminum products with it. And maybe if somebody, you might be able to buy plastic products with it, you know? Like, it's like the difference between a penny, a nickel, a quarter, and a dime or something. You see what I mean?
Yep.
Obviously, the aluminum token would probably be more valuable than the plastic token, and so how many plastic tokens would equal to the value of one aluminum token?
I'd rather go to that than the Mark of the Beast, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I kind of like my free money. And,
just trying to figure out a way to get somebody an incentive to want to recycle.
Yeah.
And it'd be kind of a fun way to be incentivized. Is that even a word? Incentivized?
Shoot.
You know, because those machines...
Incentivized. I like that.
If those machines are, you know, creative, like those ones that you put the penny in there, then, you know, people are interested in seeing how they work. You could have a whole entire recycling center that would literally be full of these machines, and each one of these machines would accept different things, like aluminum cans and for one machine, and it might be a couple different size aluminum cans. I don't know how you'd work that one out, as far as, you know, there are some aluminum cans that are taller than each other or whatever. Maybe you just got a different size deal and it'll shift a different size mold for each size can or whatever.
Yeah, people have realized, well, you got these water bottles, okay? Now they say that's food safe. If you do a little bit more reading on that, you find out that they're still not food safe. There's still chemicals that leach off of that and get into you, and poisonous chemicals that get into you. And recycling would be a real good thing, but what they're not recycling and what they really need to recycle would be glass. You don't find glass recycling anywhere.
Well, I was talking
about... The only places that will take that are these people that blow glass. And they'll only take certain kinds of glass. And people can't just look at broken glass and say, well, is this, what kind of glass is this? They can't. So, they don't. Rather than trying to sort it and collect a bunch of glass, and see, if you cannot identify what kind of glass, and you keep having to collect up glass that they won't take, then people don't want that all around. So, I mean, it throws it all off. Now, very few places still recycle glass bottles. Very few places.
Well,
and they want the nickel burr and stuff like that. There's a few states that do that. But that's getting really, really hard to find these days.
Well, what I was thinking about would be to turn recycled glass into, like, landscaping blocks or something, you know?
Yep, landscaping blocks. Hell yeah.
Imagine if you made them just like a regular brick, you know, or maybe even like a Lego, you know. One side has a nub on it and the other side has a hole in there, so you could stack these things, you know. Glue them into place or something.
Why not?
But I see there's uses for everything, though, you know. Hey, there's nothing that needs to be wasted.
Yeah, everything costs money to make. Somebody needs to come off with some money and get back into a business that sits there and recycles it, makes it profitable. If people would realize, if people would boycott the use of plastic bottles to get their water in, that would put one heck of a blow to industry. But it would raise the price of glass. Because if people won't drink their water except out of glass, and their drinks out of glass, more and more people will only buy what's glass, and the industry has to turn to what the people want instead of taking this poison. All it takes is for people to get serious. That's what it takes. It takes people to get serious and take back what's theirs.
Well, I don't know how. This is like an overwhelming task to try to put ideas out there to get people motivated into doing something like this. But I think even if it started off in a small community, if some creative folks got together, you know, there was.
How about if you make them realize that it is killing you?
Well, I don't know how to go about it, but look, one time. Years ago,
it would be a long process, and you'd have to fight for it, and you'd have to keep on going for it. But you know what? It's what really needs to be.
Sometime years ago, some guy got a crazy idea when they started recycling aluminum, and they invented the can crusher. I don't know who owns the original patent on the can crusher. But essentially, you hang it on your wall, and you put a can in there, and you pull the lever down, it smashes the cans, and you can get more in a bag. So you save them up, you know, they're all smashed down. But you could use that same kind of concept for, you know, beginning the process of smashing them down and moving it towards making a token out of it. And those tokens you could store in yet even smaller area. Stack them up, you know. Like whenever they melt down lead or plastic or zinc or any metal for that matter and make ingots out of them.
Right.
Same concept, you know, and now you got pure metal or whatever that you can turn around and take to the recycling, watch the prices of metal when they go up and down, make you a 50-gallon drum into a piggy bank. Throw these tokens in there. See what I mean?
Yep.
And do the same thing with plastics and even glass for that matter. If you can make glass blocks out of, recycled glass, imagine all the things that you could do with that. You can build all kinds of like walls or, you know, artistic kind of landscaping and stuff. I think it'd be pretty cool. And it'd give you a use for the glass.
Well, a buddy of mine, what he does for a living, he goes and he inspects telephone poles, which means they dig down 18 inches and look at the integrity of the pole. And if it's not up to par, they got the stuff that they it cures the rot and it fills and makes it all new. And he'll tell you it's the outside inch. That outside layer, that 1 inch, that is the total strength of the telephone pole. But while he's digging and he's going through and he keeps on finding, he finds some amazing things on his route because he goes where a lot of people don't normally walk and go to. And he's got a lot of these glass, big chunks of glass that was melted glass with, like you were saying yesterday, with swirls and all that stuff in it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got a bunch of them. Plus, he's got all them, them skulls from cows, you know. And he decorates. He has them all over there. He's pretty much got a rustic decor around his yard there. Landscaping and stuff like that, I don't see why not. I mean, it's, I know if I've melted it down, he'd actually pay for it because he collects it, you know?
Well, earlier in the show, I had mentioned that back in the old days, and I'm sure you remember, they used to have on Coca-Cola and Pepsi bottles and some other bottles that return for deposit.
Right.
And that I thought that was a good program because, you know, people just go around collecting up bottles and you could go get them, you know, some money out of them.
Yeah, and you don't find as much broken glass around because people are trying not to break them.
Yeah. If it's worth 5 or 6, 5 or 10 cents a piece back in the day, then I remember at one point the bottle said nickel on it, and at one point they actually think made it up to 10 cents. But you won't find too many of those return for deposit ones anymore because they were all gathered up by people and recycled.
Yeah, that's the same glass that they can reblow and all that kind of stuff, by the way.
Yeah. Well, what I was thinking, if people wanted to get the industry to be responsible about it, they could start that program back up with all the different, even plastic bottles, you know?
All it would take was people refusing to drink out of plastic again. And well, the industry says, yep, we need glass.
I'm sure you're not going to get enough people to do that, though.
People are not afraid of drinking out of polymers, which they should be. But they really...
But if they, if the companies, even on the plastic bottles, had some sort of incentive return for deposit, if each plastic bottle was worth a penny or two, and you could take that water bottle and store them up, you know, 100 water bottles, you got a dollar. You see what I mean? It's
like I said, there's still places. There's some places in Canada and some states in the United States that still do that, and you take the bottles back.
Well, that's what then needs to be done on a wide scale because that would give people incentive to literally go out and pick up trash.
What I'm saying, it's not that far off. You just got to get people to say, no more plastic, no more plastic.
Even on cardboard boxes or something, you know, return for deposit. And if companies would do that, you wouldn't see all the trash that you'd see normally because people would literally go around collecting these things up.
People recycle. It's not cool anymore.
Well, it was cool back when I was a kid.
It's also not cool being polite and saying sir and yes ma'am and no ma'am. But you know what? If people realized that if they did, they'd probably get a lot farther in their jobs.
Yeah, it was cool back when I was a kid because that's how we made candy money, man. We'd go down the street and pick up bottles that people threw out the window or something like that, or even the little tire weights that fell off the cars, and we'd take them to the bait shop, and they'd buy the lead and make remake fishing weights and stuff out of them, and we'd have the money from, you know, selling it because they give you so much a pound for it. And shoot, we collect these things up and take them down there and make some money and go up to the feed store where they sold candy and all kinds of cool stuff and, you know, go shopping. And we did the same thing with the return for deposit bottles. They did the same thing. We took and gathered up a bunch of those bottles and we'd take them up there to the store and they'd buy them back 10 cents a piece or a nickel a piece. And, you know, we'd go to the feed store and buy some doggone candy or little toys or something like that. You know, little slingshots or little airplanes that you put together. Those were the good old days, man.
Yeah, the good old days, like when Cracker Jacks actually had a prize in there rather than a sticker.
Yeah, now they got some out-of-date doggone coupon. It's expired coupon. That's why Cracker Jacks went downhill because nobody wanted to buy them anymore. It didn't have the little cool toys in them. That was the whole deal about Cracker Jacks. You got some caramel popcorn and peanuts, and they started cheaping on the peanuts, and then they started cheaping on the toys, and next thing you know, it's just about worthless.
Yeah, made them famous, went out the window.
Yep, that's it.
Now it's a sticker. It's always a little sticker.
Yeah, something stupid. Heck, we used to get those little lick-on tattoos and all kinds of stuff in this.
Oh, yeah, they still do the lick-on tattoos, because it's paper.
Yep.
People will make paper until they die, or until you die.
Well, even paper can be recycled, you know?
Yep. paper. I remember they used to give you the used to get the little plastic army men in there, little toys that you'd put a string on the front of it, and that string you'd hang a little weight off the edge of the table, a couple pennies or something, you know.
Yep.
And then that thing would just wiggle back and forth and walk. I remember one of the prizes I got out of it was the seven dwarfs walking all in a row, all on a string. And every one of them had a leg, and that thing would just go back and forth and back and forth and walk. So, man, I played with that for hours.
And the crazy thing about it, a box of Cracker Jacks back in the day wasn't even that expensive. It was pretty neat, man. You know, we can't necessarily bring back the good old days, but maybe we can make some new good old days. And this idea could actually take off, and you could work towards a zero waste kind of economy where everything was of value, which everything does have value to it, you know, even your trash.
Cracker Jacks would be the number one popcorn candy on the shelf there, and it'd be over in the candy section. It'd be popular as can be if someone decided that if they were CEO of that company and they could bring back the real prize.
Yeah.
But it would actually do that. And that's one of the things I'm saying about the water. Get it in a glass bottle.
Heck, they sold the heck out of a doggone cereal because of the different toys that they put in there.
Yep. Now they won't even, they won't put any toy of value in there.
Yep. I know that don't sound like much, but incentive makes a big difference. And, you know, you'd be surprised at how better business probably was back then than it is now as far as, you know, selling cereal or Cracker Jacks or anything like that. And recycling, when it had a return for deposit on it, people were interested. But when it was basically, you know, no deposit, no return or whatever, then people weren't interested. And I don't know why companies went away from it. Maybe it was cheaper just to buy new bottles than, you know, do that. But if that company really cared about the environment and such, then, you know, they'd bring that program back. Because a lot of people, you know, if you didn't have a job and you wanted to spend some time walking around, people were sloppy. They throw trash everywhere. You could go around and you could literally earn a living picking up aluminum cans. You could still do that today. You know?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Shaziz. I work for a company, a sign company, and I won't put the name out. Yes, I will. Datatronic Control Incorporated. These were message center signs that show pictures, words, and graphics with light bulbs.
Yeah.
And I introduced them to color, and we were doing great and booming. And then Mr. Mariko, the rich guy that owned the company, figured he hired a new guy to make things more efficient, an efficiency expert. And this efficiency expert, real smart guy, he'd sit there and watch every move you made and try to see a different way, and then he said, well, if you did it like this, you'd cut 3/4 of a second off each deal you did. And he went through and he made the company some money, and then he decided, well, you know what, we don't need to keep buying tools because the tools keep disappearing, so let's just make sure we got 5 people per tool, so only 1 tool for every 5 people. Someone going. Oh. Anyway, yeah, it's, so the deal went, you know, and this is what Cracker Jacks and all these places with the toys say. It didn't affect the company at first. It only showed a profit because you saved money.
Do you remember?
The problem is, after a while, it does catch up. And yes, it will show. And it'll show up. It just doesn't show up immediately. And that's the thing. So, I mean, okay, yeah, it saved them a lot of money to go ahead and put all these drinks in plastic bottles. And what the problem was, it was okay with the public. So guess what? They lost no sales. And because it was profitable and saved them money, everything's put in these cheap plastic bottles. Now you go to the store, it's real hard to find a jar of pickles in a glass jar anymore. The big gallon, you know, ones that you used to like to make your tea with?
Yeah.
That's real hard to find. Why? Because people are okay with eating stuff out of crap that will kill you. Just because it doesn't show up right now.
Well, I don't know how to get that resolved right at the moment outside of informing people.
Of Datatronic Control, after I left, I had my own tools. After I left, that company called me back and said they were operating on 2% profit. Could I please come back? And they laid me off on my birthday. And I said, well, no, I want $16 an hour. Well, I don't know if he can do that. I said, well, call me back today. Well, he called me back 2 days later. I said, no, now it's going to cost you $18 an hour. He said, why? I said, because you didn't call me back that same day. I got another job offer, and if you can't beat it, then I'm going to go for it. So call me back today and let me know if he says okay. Well, he didn't call me back that day. He called me back like a week later. And I said, well, now, you know, I got a job offer me $21.50 an hour. Can you beat that? Well, no, we can't do that. They just, each time they okayed what I said days before. And I couldn't find out just how much I was worth. And you know what? And I said, nope, I got a job at McDonald's. Sorry. Finally went down there and, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you the rest of that story because basically I got my revenge.
Anyway, back to
the main deal is basically that company was operating on 2% profit. You know why? Because people had to go look for a tool. Another deal that cut and saved money is they went ahead and moved the paint booth right next to the welder's booth. And it's one of the reasons why I left. I was about to leave, and I was looking for a job, and they found out that I was looking for another job because I got tired of watching fire fly around my head when I was spray painting, making the signs. And, you know, but they wasn't going to move the paint booth. And I said, well, before I wind up dying or taking a lung booth full that blows up, I'm leaving. So I was looking for another job, and they fired me before I found another job. But the thing was, they were operating on 2% profit. Why? Because they wanted to get cheap.
Well, that's the thing. Industry out there aren't always looking out for the best interest. They're looking for the bottom line. But regardless, this plan that I'm talking about, it just bypasses industry altogether. We're not trying to get involved with any of them or anything like that, and if people did stop buying plastic stuff from them, then they'd stop selling it. But nonetheless, in the situation that we're in right now, where the trash is like piling up all over the planet, I find in ways that we could actually reuse this stuff, you know? Like a fly swatter, you know, everybody could use a fly swatter because flies are nasty and obnoxious. But, yeah, if you could take and recycle plastic bottles into, you know, small products like that, and then you had an economy based on, you know, I have these tokens that are made out of the same kind of plastic, and so many of these tokens would equal up to the weight of that fly swatter, and then I throw them a few extra ones in there for their efforts, you know, because it'd be basically like money, you know, be shopping or whatever. And I guess each person would set their own price on what they wanted, you know, in exchange for whatever they did. But nonetheless, now you have what normally would have been trash turned into something that had buying power to it. You see what I mean?
Exactly.
And if we could get that kind of situation going on, it'd be a grassroots level kind of deal, and it could open up a different type of industry where people would be creative and finding different ways to make better tokens or you know, more interesting methods by how, you know, the machine does the work, and you can see through the glass and you can actually watch this bottle being ground up and then melted and, you know, pushed down into a mold or whatever, and then out the bottom pops a token. So, you know, it's, like I said, it's just an idea until it's actually put into play, but I can see it where it'd be beneficial, because instead of people throwing it in the trash, they're taking over these machines, you know, just to see how it worked. And if there was enough different types of these machines, who knows, those machines might even become collector's items or something one day. You know, I don't know where all these penny machines normally came from, but I see some that look like they're way back in probably the early 1900s or something like that.
Yeah, have you ever tried to do that with one of these pennies that got that zinc inside and just the copper outside?
Yeah, that's another thing. Even the monetary system's already started cheating people. It's got, you know, copper-coated zinc for a penny. You know?
Yeah.
And your quarters, whenever you wash them once or twice, and you actually leave them in your pants pocket or something, and they get all corroded and they begin to deteriorate. So they're worthless. But these tokens that I'm talking about, they would never be worthless. They would always be worth its weight, or whatever the, you know, economy said that plastic was worth.
That's right.
There's all kinds of, heck, you could make a shoehorn out of plastic or whatever. You know, there's so many different things that they make out of plastic that, you know, you don't have to eat off of or anything. You could even make plates if you wanted to.
I actually have one of the old stainless steel shoehorns.
Yeah?
From way back, and it don't have a dot of rust on it.
Well, all materials, every material out there, you know, brass, copper, aluminum, you know, even aluminum foil or whatever. Plastics of all different types. You could make custom make machines that would accept certain materials. And if somebody in this town didn't have one that would take your particular material that you've collected up, you go over to another town. They got a machine that'll do that. You know, here's one that'll do brass. Here's one that'll do copper, you know, and put it into a token form. It'd be neat. You know, and it'd get a lot of people thinking about, you know, engineering and creativity. If you look back through history and you look at all the different things that you used to see around, people were so creative. They made all kinds of cool machines. They made all kinds of toys. Heck, they made puzzles out of old horseshoes and stuff. Weld a couple horseshoes and a chain together and put a ring in the middle of it, and the trick is try to figure out how to get the ring off of the chain. It was a pretty ingenious idea. Heck, they made stuff out of nails, man. All kinds of. They repurposed everything under the sun. You'll find somebody is creativity. People making flower pots out of old tires, you know, to put out there in their yard and stuff. They recycled, I said earlier, they recycled tires and mixed it in with asphalt to make the roads and. So there shouldn't be any waste to anything in any industry, including the food industry. I mean, all that you know, wasted food could go into a compost deal where you could basically turn that into methane or something.
Oh, all my waste veggies go into a compost pile.
Yeah,
and I got some stuff growing in that compost pile. I always have something growing in my compost pile. And then once in a while, I go ahead and turn the pile. I go ahead and take what was growing in it. I'll pull it out, and then I'll go ahead and roll the pile and then stick it right back down there. You know what? Nothing has ever died that I've done that to. It's just got too much nutrient there.
Well,
so I like the compost pile. That's my favorite garden. And I didn't plant anything there on purpose. It just volunteers to come up.
I think the biggest thing about recycling is basically, to some folks, it's just not cool. Or it's too much effort. And so, if you can get people interested in it, with a project such as what we're talking about, then you wouldn't have any waste in any industry. It don't matter what industry out there, you know, everything would be reused. And even re-engineering different types of machinery and electrical motors and stuff to utilize waste energy off of them and stuff. I see it possible, man. In my mind, it's so ridiculously simple, I don't understand why we haven't been doing it already. Outside of, you know, industry don't want to spend the extra money to take the effort. But if you go back, like what we were talking about, the return for deposit bottles, go out there and try to find one of them bottles today.
See, that's the problem. See, we keep talking about industry. Industry is not going to do it.
Of course they're not. And that's why this particular project right here is a We the People kind of project. Because it's us building...
On YouTube, you look around, and you got these guys taking a bunch of plastic 2-liter bottles. They kind of glue and tie these suckers together and wrap them and make boats that are unsinkable.
Yeah, well, they made fish traps with them, too.
I seen five students in a boat paddling around. That sucker, it just wasn't going to sink. It might, you know, they might fall out of it or whatever or something like that. And, you know what, they got something to hang on to because it's not going to, I mean, even if it capsized, it's still going to float. It's not going to be at the bottom of the, it's not going to be at the bottom of the river or whatever.
Yeah, but back on the industry portion of it, industry all aside, even the normal economy all aside, this would be a completely independent economy that could be controlled at a local level by, you know, just the average Joes. You could have a store in your local community that sold nothing but recycled things, fly swatters, plastic cups or toys or whatever that was made by people in that area right there, and even have the equivalence of what would be an arcade in it, which has these nifty machines that I'm talking about that takes your aluminum can and then smashes it and rolls it and maybe even melts it and then pours it into a mold and out pops a token.
And, yeah.
those tokens are now money, you know, they essentially got value. You can trade the weights of whatever. Like use for an example, if they get somebody made a statue of a bird made out of aluminum, you know, and I thought that was cool. I'd have to have the equivalence of aluminum tokens to match the weight of that, and maybe a little extra for their effort, and I could buy that deal. It would be a pretty neat deal. Nobody would be throwing stuff in the trash anymore because everything was worth something. You see what I mean?
Hey, people would take their old trash bag up to the parking lot. Leave the trash.
Well,
pull all the cans, they'd be stealing trash as they go down the road.
Yeah, I honestly believe that it is possible to build the equivalence of, like, you know, you got a dishwasher right now, and its function is basically to wash your dishes, and it even dry your dishes. But you could build a compactor that would take your trash, grind it all up, separate all the separate materials into separate containers that were already ready for recycling. You know, and you wouldn't even have to pay for a trash bill. You just take your trash every month and take it over to your favorite recycling place and sell your trash to them. There's a company, like I said, that does this already. If you go over and you look and stand outside this what used to be a dump, and now they call it a landfill, but nonetheless, you go stand outside this and you'd swear up and down you were looking at a park. It's not trashy, it doesn't stink, it's got beautiful landscaping everywhere, and these folks have literally, they get paid to take the trash away from the people that they take the trash away. They take it and they run it through these machines, they separate everything, and they recycle it all, and they turn that money, that trash, into not only fuel for machinery that they're running, but they recycle all the plastics and the glass and the metal, and they're making a killing off of selling people's trash.
Yeah, they got this place in Virginia Beach called Mount Trashmore.
Yeah.
Heck, one of the local radio station hosts, sidekick, Henry the Bull, Henry Del Toro. You've probably heard him and seen him in a movie or two. Anyway, Henry Del Toro put out this little scare on the radio that Mount Trashmore was putting off methane and was ready to blow.
Huh.
Oh, man, I tell you what, it almost got the radio station taken off the air. And he had to go to court and all that kind of stuff. It was a pretty good scare. So Mount Trashmore became very famous.
Well,
but it's huge. You drive by it, and I mean it's huge, and it's made of it's nothing but the trash. And then, I mean it's nothing but looks like a golf course on top. You know, it's beautiful, and it is the park. There in Virginia Beach.
I think we've been joined by Patty. How are you doing, lady?
Hey, guys. Doing really good. What an excellent topic that you're talking about, Jesus and Muddy. Hey, Muddy.
I'm thinking about this thing along the lines of, you know, there's folks out there that don't have a job. And I remember when I was a kid, I used to seem like I always had money in my pocket because people threw away things. They threw away the return for deposit bottles. We'd go out and gather those up. We'd gather up cans and those little lead weights that fall off people's tires and stuff. And heck, we had a business going on. We'd take our little red wagon down the street and pick up all this stuff and then go down the bait shop and sell the lead. And they'd made weights and fishing lures out of it. And then we'd go over to the local grocery store and cash in the bottles, and then we'd go up to the local feed store and buy some candy and some toys and stuff. Man, we had it made.
And yeah, that was our income as kids.
Yeah, and it kept side of the roads where those particular kids were doing that. They were always clean.
Heck, I never took my tire weights in. I used them as they were. Those were my fishing weights.
Well, we wanted the candy more than we want the fishing weights.
Well, talking about your plastics, though, recycled plastics, they're making roads out of recycled plastics. And you were talking about them making boats that were unsinkable. Well, there's several people who have created whole islands off of plastic bottles and are living on them, have their homes built on them.
See?
You know, this is something that...
It's been around
for a long time. Yeah.
Floating garden where the roots actually go down into the river and all that. They don't have to water them. They just go out there and harvest.
Huh.
And they don't have a problem with weeds because the weeds are too far away. They never make it up there.
Do you guys know what a shanty boat is?
Yeah.
I just found out about this here a while back. But out there on the rivers, they... basically, it goes back a long time, but they build these little houses on top of like the equivalents of a barge. And all these houses are usually made out of all kinds of recycled or repurposed materials, and people live in these things on the river. There's a whole different society on the river than they even have yachts and stuff on rivers.
And yeah, in Louisiana, it's very common.
Yeah.
Very common.
Well, I thought it was pretty neat because these folks, you know, living off the land pretty much, and they're basically cleaning up what other people are throwing away and making a pretty decent living and comfortable out of the deal. You know, pretty neat little houses, too, on these boats.
Yeah, they've used plastic. You know, we keep hearing so much about the overabundance of plastic in the oceans and things, and what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? Industry is constantly putting the bad mouth out there on the people, and we got to pay money to get this cleaned up, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, if you're in industry and you're producing something that you know is going to create a waste product that is not going to be taken care of, then the onus is on you.
Yeah.
Because you created a product that causes damage to the environment on purpose. You know it's causing damage because you're griping that there's too much of it out there. So if you're not doing anything to stem that flow of these products that they say are not recyclable or can't be done anything with, then you are the problem. So what you were talking about earlier, Muddy, with industry being the issue, it's exactly what is the issue. It's exactly what is the issue with everything we're dealing with right now in energy, in building, our structures. in our roads, in our dams. Everything that we have is built on this antiquated system of profit for gain and products to be made as cheaply as possible. This is the culprit, you know. This is the fly in the ointment.
It's not going to change easy. It takes getting a lot of people to stand for, and it doesn't happen overnight. It will not
right.
happen overnight.
Well, that's why I think...
You've got to stab industry, not in their heart, because a corporation is an entity, but it has no heart. So you can't stab industry in the heart. You have to stab industry where it hurts, in the wallet.
That's why I think that this project, Zero Waste, would be a really cool thing, because it would take it completely out of the industry's hand. Now, I foresee that if this project was to take off and the average Joe would actually start doing this enough, they would catch on eventually, hey, look, these folks are making money off of our trash, and they'd probably bring back the return for deposit deal. You see what I'm saying? That was a good program, because when there was a value on that bottle or whatever, then you had to bring it back and you get some money back out of it. Well, when they stopped doing that, that's when you started seeing trash on the side of the road more than you did back then. If you could go back in time and you could look around, you didn't hardly find any bottles out there that were returned for deposit. But you found plenty of them that weren't.
Right. You know, there used to be, when they sold a six-pack of pop together, it came in a cardboard carton, and you had the glass bottles. Now they sell plastic bottles with the plastic things that hold them together, and you hear all the time about how these plastic rings that hold these bottles are being caught up in the natural wildlife.
Yeah,
and harming them. Nothing has been done other than they put perforations into the plastic so that it can be ripped a little bit easier. But it's still not creating a solution for the problem. It's only creating more pieces of plastic.
Yeah,
and putting, you know, instead of one piece, now it's separating into 3, 4, 5 pieces. So we have no solutions from industry, and we can't expect it from industry, so the solutions have to come from the people. And the excellent thing is, Shaziz, is that we have the minds and the ability out there for the people to utilize these things and to create in themselves this island, these islands that these people are building. There was no blueprint. They didn't buy this product from a company somewhere. They built this piece by piece by piece of their own ingenuity, of their own innovation. And that's the power that we have. We don't need industry. We really don't.
No.
If industry is harming us, then we need to just walk away from industry and create our own, because we have the know-how, we have the ability, and due to them, we have everything we need.
And this would work, because it would basically build its own economy based off of materials that would otherwise just being wasted. And so,
people would be going out grabbing up plastic.
Yeah.
Ooh, there's a bottle. Get that. You know.
Let me bring you as close to the realization of what industry will do if you would just think. See, anything that they do to us, they do to us without asking us. And, you know, like we'd all have the chip implanted into us and all that kind of stuff by now. People wouldn't so against it. They have to have our consent. But here's the thing. What happens is, when you're silent and you don't say something, that gives them what they call consent.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, though.
That's not the thing. Now, I'm going to show you just how fragile what they think is. You go out there and you get your Pepsi and your Coca-Cola in a plastic bottle, right? How come the beer is still in a glass bottle? Because they want to pull it out of that ice and they want to feel it and know it's cold. You can't do that with a plastic bottle. You just don't feel the temperature of what's inside.
Well, the thing is,
they want the The people that drink the beer out of a glass bottle, but they won't drink it out of a plastic bottle. If we decide we want our drinks, our sodas and stuff, and, you know, and they're going to take them glass bottles and they throw them out the window. They throw them out the window. You know what? There's a lot more glass on the side of the highway than there is plastic on the side of the highway in bottles.
Sure, and look, you were saying something about how the people, you don't have a voice. Well, this would be the people's voice, because this particular idea, this project right here, would literally take what would have normally been, you know, their trash and turned into treasure. You know, if you knew that there was a value on something, you wouldn't throw it out the window as easily as if there was no value. Like, you're not going to get no refund on that beer bottle, so you just throw it out the window, no big deal. But if you knew that you could start saving these beer bottles up and buy you more beer, then you're more apt to do that. Then that's why I said back during the time when they had the return for deposit on the bottle, you didn't have all this trash problem. If you would have had that same program going with every single industry out there, you know, just think about if a bottle of water cost $1 and the industry said, well, we'll give you a penny back for every one of these bottles that you return to us, they're not losing much. They got a penny. Well, now they got a bunch of plastic. They invest in a grinding machine. They can grind it down and ship it off to places to have it recycled into deal, and they make themselves look good in the process. That's why I'm saying, if we started doing this, you think industry wouldn't notice that there's a second economy being formed and it's not in their control? They would want to try to figure out how to get their hands back into that. And so in order to do that, they would want to incentivize people to bring the materials back to them instead of bringing them to us. You see what I mean?
Yep. And they really wanted to have a chips in us and all this other stuff, and they had projected dates, and you know what? When that projected date gets around, it's not here. Why? Because the people oppose it. I think the people, including you and me, and everybody just needs to spread the word. Look, let's stop drinking on plastic. Let's stop taking this paper money. We didn't need money until somebody invented it. And then somebody found a way to reprint it. We make plastic coins that are worth the amount of plastic, or copper coins that are worth the amount of copper, and stop having people mint and print stuff that's a lie to us.
Well, that's why
we let them do it. We let them do it, and now we're caught up in it.
That's why I keep saying you don't have to tackle the beast, all right? You don't have to try to take down industry. You can outsmart industry, beat them at their own game, because I watch all kinds of different companies out there. They throw thousands and thousands of dollars worth of material in the trash. And once it hits the curb, most states out there will say once it hits the curb, it's free game. And so if people decided they want to seriously get serious on it, you could turn a recycling business into a lucrative business just by going around dragging off people's trash, because normally they got to pay to get rid of it. Just like you got those pallets for free because they didn't have no way to get rid of them. They didn't want to pay somebody to haul them off and then let you take them out of there. I know a guy that's all he does. He's got a flatbed truck. He goes around to all these companies. He gathers up all these pallets, and then people call him up because, have you ever seen a pallet garden before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you take these pallets, you flip them upside down, and you can take a bag of potting soil and slide it right up in there, cut the top on there, and plant your stuff right in the bag, and there you go. You got a garden right there on the little table. And so, with this idea of these stores, let's say you get a crazy notion to start building boats out of bottles, you know. You could go to this store, and you could buy a boat made out of recycled bottles. All right? It's a novelty. It would probably sell to somebody out there, and even if it didn't, that trash is not floating into the ocean anymore, right?
That's right.
But
you know, one of the things, the fishermen, you know, you open a pack of cigarettes in a little plastic band that you pull on that little tab, and it pulls all the way around, that long skinny piece right there, and 99% of the time it goes out the window. That floats right on top of the rain because it disperses the rain like wax does, and it wants to stay on top, and it floats, and it goes down there, and the fishermen fish. And after they've done like three quarters of a day dropping their net and everything in there, they spend the rest of the day pulling them stupid things off their nets.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, though. People and industry could separate each other, and you could literally build right alongside them. They wouldn't even know what hit them. Before it was all said and done, everybody'd be carrying around these recycled tokens in their pockets because they know that these things have value for something. You know, like, I know I could keep going back to it, a fly swatter. Everybody needs a fly swatter because flies are nasty and annoying.
And I need a fly swatter.
So I save up a couple of these tokens from recycled bottles that I'd already drank out of, and now I can go buy me one of these fly swatters or whatever, you know. There's all kinds of things that could be made out of plastic that, you know, could be used for years to come. And same thing with aluminum. It doesn't matter. Even glass. If you made a machine that would literally smash glass bottles and put them into, you know, little ornaments or even landscaping blocks, you could open up an entire industry that would basically keep all the trash. There wouldn't be no waste anywhere. Everything would be reused. You know, even when it comes down to finding ways, there's enough brilliant people out here that could show you how, if you're going to be running something anyway and it's producing heat, you could turn that heat into electricity or heat to heat water or whatever. Folks, I'm telling you, I may sound crazy, but if you really seriously wanted to work in perfect harmony with nature, we got every solution to every single problem out there. And it just takes a little bit of effort. It takes the folks at the ground level, because we've already seen the track record on the opposite side of the fence with industry and government and all that kind of jazz. They're not going to get it done. Their only deal is power and the bottom line. And if you want to put that, yeah?
The truth in that statement, Shazuz, is very apparent, because the industry knows what we know.
Yeah.
They know that there are better ways. They know that the ways that are being used right now are not correct and not good for us, yet they continue. So it's not as if industry doesn't know. Industry refuses to do anything that will take away their profit margin. And so we can't wait for industry to catch up. We can't wait for industry to decide, oh, well, you know what? We're going to do a new thing. We're going to actually do the right thing, because they're never going to do the right thing. They can't exist if they do.
And
not under this system.
They never to care.
And if
wait for industry to care, because they never will.
A lot of people are saying, well, you know, they're complaining about how plastics will end up in landfills and they'll be there for years and years or whatever. If you want to stop that, take and stop it. It's that simple. You start using that for something else. You know, instead of throwing it in the trash where you know exactly where it's going to end up, you know, start working with your communities to find uses for this stuff. Pave your own roads using mixtures of plastic and rubber. You know, save yourself a lot of money. And nothing gets wasted.
Here's a thought that was on my brain for a long time. Basically, if you don't have a use for it after it's done, then it shouldn't be made. It should not be created. If it's going to damage the planet and it can't be cleaned up, such as the nuclear waste and stuff like that, do not do it. We were all started in a garden. And we're supposed to take care of this garden. We are the gardeners. When he comes back, he's going to say, holy, and, you know, we're in deep trouble, man. But,
well, the way I look at it, there ain't one single thing on this planet that can't be recycled. You know, nature will always take back what you don't use. And nature can, there isn't one thing that man has ever put together that nature cannot deteriorate.
Right? Recycle that plutonium.
Yeah, All of it could be...
It shouldn't even come out here. It shouldn't even be dug up and used.
Well, all of it could be used. I mean, as long as that radioactive material is sitting there depleting and it's still radioactive, radioactivity is releasing energy, and that energy could be captured and stored in a safe manner, in which you wouldn't have these issues. And
yeah, finish use. You know what they throw out is only kicking off maybe 25% of what it did when it was new.
Yeah.
All right, finish use. I'm sorry, it's going to cost a little money and cut into your profit. Well, finish using the rest of the radiation. You could make a small nuke reactor on this stupid thing and make
again. They know this. They know this, yeah. But they won't. They won't,
because it's not top quality and it ain't putting out optimum. And they say, well, we can't build a bigger place because that might cost us some money.
Well, everything that is out of our reach, like right now, radioactive waste is so highly regulated, your average Joe ain't got no say in it. And so you're going to have to work with your congressmen and your senators on ideas to utilize that, or, you know, basically bring it back down into a state where it's in a natural state again. So that's going to be one heck of a chore on the opposite side. But what I'm talking about here is things that are right there in your grasp already. Every day somebody generates trash in their house. And every bit of that trash, papers, plastics, metals, you know, even the tin, you know, you can recycle all of it. And if we built a separate economy that had nothing to do with regular money, and all these little tokens right here, as goofy as that may sound, there has been company after company that figured out that they can utilize these doggone tokens to ensure that once you put your dollar bill into the machine, now you have to spend those tokens at their store, because you can't take those tokens and put them back and cash them for regular money anymore. They don't do that. You have to spend them in a store.
Like you got them from.
And so those tokens would only have value to the recycling community. You know, if you want to buy something that was made out of recycled plastic that you can use, you take these tokens up there, and basically, depending on the weight of that token and the weight of those deals, and maybe a few extra for their effort kind of deal, then you can actually buy from this store using what otherwise would have been trash. You just built an economy, the equivalence of a barter system, that actually has a physical coin, and it doesn't even matter if somebody counterfeits your coin style, because as long as it's still made out of plastic, it still has the same value. You see what I mean?
And you hadn't lost nothing.
Yeah, you ain't lost nothing. Matter of fact, they helped you out by trying to steal your design. So the power could be in the people's hands. If the people want to really care about the environment and not fill up the landfills anymore, man, I could even see, if you decided you wanted to, go buy up an old landfill and take some time and dig out the trash and separate all the metals and the plastics and the glass and build usable products from it. Could you imagine how long a glass block would actually last as far as landscaping wise? It'd be beautiful. Different mixtures of colors of glass and stuff. You could do all kinds of cool stuff with it. And
if industry really wanted to help the situation, I mean, we could move away from that type of plastic. We could move to plastics made from hemp.
Yeah.
From other plant-based products. This is something that we have plastics now that are going to be with us for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah.
So we can utilize those plastics now. We have the ability to replace everything that is in our industry today in a renewable and responsible manner. This is how we begin. We take the power away from the institutions of the commercial sector, and we give that power to the people where it really belongs. The people have the power. They just have to learn to utilize that power. They have to learn that they are the ones who make things happen. And this is the thing that they have, industry has used over the people for such a long time. If you don't have us, you don't have your products. But it's just the opposite. It is the exact opposite. It is the people who give life to the industry.
Yep.
And we have the power to change industry simply by standing up and saying, this is what we're doing now. We have that power, right?
Yeah. You hit a key word a second ago. When you talked about renewable, they're always hollering about we need clean, renewable, alternative things to everything and sustainable. How much more sustainable can you get than take the, what would have been industry's trash that you throw in your trash bin and pay somebody to haul off to turn that into literal treasure, you know, something of value? Everything has value, even paper.
Glass bottles.
And so if you could also, at the same time while you're doing recycling the old stuff, which will continue to be able to be recycled, you could recycle it over and over and over again, and at the same time, start developing hemp-based plastics instead of that, and work your way into eventually that's what you're using instead of regular oil products or whatever.
And like Patty was saying, the hemp-based plastics are biodegradable.
Well,
so they do return to.
But every journey has to start with the first step, right? And the first step to me would be, any local community out there listening to what we're talking about today, try it. Just try it. Use it as an experiment and start taking and everything that any waste that you generate, find a use for it that you can literally benefit your community. And then after so long and this thing starts to work out for you and you actually start to see, you know, things change in your community where you ain't got this trash problem anymore. The people over in the next town over come over and ask you, you know, hey, how's that system working? And you tell them, you show them, and then maybe they'll implement it in their town, and it'll spread all over the place. And call it the Zero Waste Project, you know? You ain't got no waste. Even on all the machinery that you're running, you're finding ways to by which the back of your refrigerator, it's generating waste heat, right? Well, that waste heat's fighting with your air conditioner when you're trying to stay cool. So show them a method by which you could actually vent that out in the summertime and vent it back in during the wintertime to help to generate heat in your house. The ideas are just so abundant. I mean, I could sit here day after day and I could just spew these ideas out one right after another. Everything that generates heat could be utilized to generate electricity. You can use heating for cooling. You can use cooling for heating, vice versa. If you know the basic laws of physics and basic science, there ain't nothing you couldn't accomplish. We could literally have perfect, I mean 100% perfectly efficient heating and cooling systems and housing and recycled capabilities, where in your own house you have equivalents of a compactor that you put your trash, you know, if you want to get really good about it, you put one of them's just for metal, aluminum, and one of them's just for like tin, and the other one's for plastic, and one's for paper, and then you got one for composting. And every single bit of this in your own house, all the trash that you generate is now used for something that's going to benefit you and save you money. It's like a piggy bank right there in the side of your house. You know?
Like a tin can Stirling engine, right?
Yeah. The doggone dump that I talked about that now calls themselves a landfill, I swear I got to go down there with a camera and I got to take some pictures and show you this dump. Because when you see it, you're not going to think it's a dump. It's beautiful. I mean, they got like landscaping out there with flowers and just, I mean, it just looks beautiful. And it's a dump. And now they make money when they charge people to take their trash away. They make money when they get the trash on the job site. They separate it all. They recycle every single thing that comes in there, including your waste food and all that, goes into a compost to heat deal. That in turn is turned around into methane that turns around and runs their doggone machinery. It's brilliant. But like we were saying earlier, industry, they don't want to go through the effort. They don't want to go through the extra expense. So if the average Joe understands that you can turn your trash into treasure, and you can use it to pave your roads with, or insulate your homes, or build useful products out of, you open up a new industry inside your own community where it's now based on something that's not something that can be taken away at any given second, like the dollar bill or the quarters that are, they'll rot in your pocket because they're not even made out of silver anymore, and the pennies are copper coated zinc, and it's just crazy.
And hey, could you see a guy out on a date, and he said, we going to your place or my place? Oh, let's go to my place. It's a dump. You got to see it.
Well,
it's a real dump. You got to see it.
If you built your entire house out of recycled anything, it would be impressive. Imagine we built something that would crush old bottles, and you can get bottles by the truckload. Just people throw them out the window all day long. And not only are they, trashing up the environment, but when they get broken, they're a health hazard, because I don't know if y'all ever been cut by a glass bottle before, but it ain't cool. But imagine you take these doggone bottles, which would have normally been a hazard and a polluting up your environment, making the place look trashy, and run them through a machine that smashes them and molds them into a glass block, and you could build an entire house out of glass. I think it'd be pretty neat. You know?
Do you remember when, it was about, 15 years ago maybe, we had the big, movement on the alternative fuels, people realizing that they could run their vehicles on, cooking oil?
Yeah.
Do you remember everybody, there were so many people that jumped on that bandwagon and who were making it work, right? And they were going to these restaurants that were throwing away the oil, the used oil, and they had to pay to have that taken away and put into a landfill.
Yep.
To be disposed of. People started going there, and so these restaurant owners thought, well, that's pretty cool because I don't have to pay to have this taken away now. And then all of a sudden, they realize there's a demand for this. I can make money off of this.
Yeah.
And they started charging people to take the waste oil that the restaurant was having to pay to have taken away and disposed of. They started charging the people who were doing it for them for free. This is what's wrong with industry. It will always look for the profit margin. That's why it is so important to get the grassroots involved in this and make the industries change by the loss of demand that they have.
That's right.
You know,
Let me take that another step. True story. Years ago, when that was going on and everything, and it started taking, and basically, for Hampton Roads area in Virginia, it got to where they built a plant. The government built a plant and made it illegal for you to sell your stuff, and it was going to be collected by the state so they could recycle it and make fuel with it. So yeah, that's the people's reward for recycling. It got to where you couldn't go by a restaurant and get it because it was illegal for them to sell it to you, because they found something that people were doing and making money off of it. They said, oh, well, our hands are not in it. We got to make a law where you can't do that no more, and they'll have to sell to us, and then we'll go ahead and refine it and sell it to the people and make money. So, I mean, it's not fair, it's not right, but that's what they did in Virginia. So
exactly. Now think about this. How many people in a community buy cooking oil? How many people use cooking oil and then put it in a container and throw it away? So if this community could get together and they could all have a depot for dumping this vegetable oil that everybody was purchasing in that community, dumping it in there, then they could utilize that oil in the community to run the vehicles. You know, they could create an industry, a free industry, out of the waste that they're creating just with the vegetable oil. The reason why we can't do it is because we have these regulations that are put on by the industry lobbyists. Well, we have to circumvent the lobbyists. We have to circumvent the industry. And that's the dog outside. But the way we do this is we get community involved. We show them, look, if we can have, say, neighbor here on this part of town, neighbor here on this part of town, we'll bring in these containers. And everybody in that neighborhood, bring your vegetable oils and stuff like that that can be reused, and we'll start our own recycling areas in our neighborhoods. We'll start creating our own mini industry, let's say, community sourced industry.
Yep.
And this would allow the people to become empowered. Not only would it do that, but it would give them the ability to think of new ways of, okay, so we did this, this is working great. What if we did this? Well, we've got a problem with our energy system. Well, hey, what if we did this? We've got a problem with our sewer system. Well, hey, what if we did this? The solutions are out there, Shaz. Muddy, we know this. Every solution is under the sun, is up for grabs.
Well, there's a lot
and
of...
All we have to do, yeah, go ahead.
There's a lot of salvage yards. You know, when people wreck their car, they end up in these big old fields with a whole bunch of other wrecked cars. And inside those salvage yard, I watched over the years, my uncle one time years ago got himself in trouble because he was selling gas out of his backyard. But they got fuel tanks that they pull out of these before they finally crush these cars. And right. These fuel tanks usually got leftover fuel in them. And so he was going there and they would give him the fuel tanks for free. And he, just to haul them off. So he'd take a big old trailer up there and he'd load up all these gas tanks and he'd drain all the gas out of it, filter it out, and it'd be good gas again. But and not only that, he'd take an axe and chop a holes in these gas tanks and then take them down to the crusher and sell it for iron. And so he had one heck of a business going on just hauling gas tanks. Now it was a dirty job, a hot and dirty job, but either way he earned a living off of the thing. And inside these salvage yards, they got these big old 50-gallon barrel full of transmission fluid that they had to drain out of them. They got oil that they had to drain out of them or whatever. And they ain't got no way to get rid of it. So a couple of the salvage yards decided, well, heck, we could make some money off this used fluid, sell it cheaper than you could buy it brand new, just filter it out and put it in recycled jugs, and they started making money off of it. So there isn't nothing out there that industry doesn't make that couldn't be, find a way to actually make money off of it. You sell somebody else's trash because they don't want to pay to haul it off, that kind of thing. But if you did this on a local level, like we've all been talking about here, you could open up a store that sold nothing but recycled things made out of recycled stuff. You could use it to solve issues around your community. You know, this particular material worked great for whatever. It's unlimited. The imagination, you know, they say that necessity is the mother of invention. And so if you got a need for something, you can find a use for it. And if communities next door neighbors to you, they see you doing this, they see how well it worked out for you, they see how clean your neighborhoods are, and they want their neighborhood to be the same. I'm telling you, mainstream industry and governments will catch on, and they'll try to get their hand into the pocket of your new economy. It'll happen, and they'll have to change in order to try to get your business back, because why are you going to go buy their fly swatter when you can go down here using some plastic tokens and buy one that's recycled? And you see what I'm saying here?
That's right.
You beat them at their own game. That's the whole deal. They don't care
exactly.
about trash. You know, they don't care about how much trash they generate because you're going to keep buying more from them. Stop buying
the only way. Yeah, the only way we change the industry is by changing what we do in support of industry. If we don't like the products that they're producing, if we feel that the products they're producing are doing more harm than good, that they are not protecting the people or the environment, then we are the ones that have to change that industry, because we are the ones who make it go. We are ultimately the blood of those industries. Without the people, there is no industry. So the way we do this is, you know, you have a child who is errant and will not behave. You have to be stern with them, and you have to say, look, either you're going to toe the line and obey the rules, or there's going to be a consequence to that. So what our message to these industries would be, you are damaging the environment and the people. You're not doing anything to change it. Therefore, this is your consequence. We are pulling out of your profits, and we are putting into our future. And the two will not meet until you, the industry, conform to what the people actually want.
And you know,
that's the way we do it.
You know what the beauty of that plan there is, Patty, is that you're going to do this using the waste that they generated.
Exactly. Exactly.
Instead of going out buying new from them, you've got your own communities, and you can actually put jobs together, you know. Heck, man, if somebody doesn't have a regular job and they know they can get everything they want from your recycled store, you could pay them in tokens for that matter, you know. It still has money value. Even the aluminum that we're talking about, the aluminum cans. Imagine if you got a 50-gallon drum and you make a giant piggy bank out of that, and you took all these cans that you'd collected over the years and basically smashed them down and made tokens out of them and threw them in this giant piggy bank, and then you watched and the market on the other side went skyrocket. You could take your aluminum over there, get some cash, and then use that cash to buy more machinery to put into your system again. I mean, it's crazy how simple of an idea it is, but when I saw that documentary of this place that they call Paradise at the Sky Ocean Rescue, and they're trying to figure out some sort of solution for the trash problem that keeps floating up on their shore, I'm thinking, right out of the gate, my brain's already kicking. I already know how to build a machine that will clean that beach up. It'll comb it up and pick up even the smallest pieces of it and let the sand back down on the dirt. And you could make it run slow enough that it wouldn't mess with any wildlife, that you could have somebody keeping an eye on it. And any crabs that might got picked up, you could, you know, safely put them off to the side or whatever. Where there's a will, there's a way. And I could show them how to take that what is normally a negative and turn it into a positive, to where that island would be self-contained just by everybody's trash that's floating in. The guy making fuel out of plastic bottles, the fuel could run the machinery that would make the recycled plastic down into the material that could be made into new products and stuff. I mean, it's mind-blowing, but as crazy as I sound, I know it's possible. You know,
we actually had a plan to take a barge out there in the middle and just let it drift into where all that plastic is, and start heating the plastic with the sun and compressing it till it would turn into petroleum, and then have a ship go out there, smaller ships come out there and collect the oil and bring it back, or the distilled oil and gas and fuel.
Well, you know what, Marty? That ain't so crazy, because mining industries go out there and they mine raw material. They dig giant holes in the ground, tons of rocks get pushed off to the side, and now that you've already got this massive amount of pure material available, I mean, you'd think that they would have jumped on the bandwagon and said, look, there's a floating $1 million bill out there. Let's go out there and recycle that stuff, and we'll make ourselves look good to the people and make money at the same time.
And we were planning on doing it, too. Yeah. I don't know what happened. It just kind of, the plan fizzled out. But that was an actual plan, and that's what we were going to do.
Well, the thing...
But don't will. And I don't think anybody can stop you from cleaning up the planet.
No. The thing is...
Not if everybody knows what you're doing. And they say, oh, they're gonna put a stop to it. Oh, no, that's wrong. Because just like the same reason why we don't have chips in us, which we were supposed to have 3 years ago, the same reason is because the people just won't have it.
Well, the thing is, if people want to get actual results, then this is an idea that can't be allowed to fizzle out. This has to be an idea that if you really care about the environment and, you know, nature being able, fish being able to swim without getting caught up in plastic or whatever, if you really care about the future of this planet, we can turn around and turn this trash into the solution. Now, how many crazy people have you ever heard? Huh?
King Shazen is the Terrible for president of Waterworld. Yeah. There and just live out there, Bubba.
How many people have you ever heard that said trash is the solution? I'm saying it. I'm saying it right now. The trash is the solution. You take industry's trash and make the industry trash work for you, and I guarantee you, you'll see those bottles come back that says return for deposit, because they're going to know that you're not buying their product anymore. And you got an economy going over here that they can't even touch. Because every time they generate trash, you make more money. People, I'm telling you, if you ever want to beat these guys, you gotta play with industry like you play a game of chess or checkers or Chinese checkers or whatever your favorite game is. You got, remember that one where you had the little army deals, little square guys that you'd be on a battlefield. What the heck was the name of that? Stratego or something like that? There's a lot.
Never played it.
All right, well, there's all kinds of games out there like that where you got to outthink your opponent, you know, and even tic-tac-toe, which if two people are on their toes, nobody wins tic-tac-toe. But it always one guy made a mistake and overlooked something, and somebody wins. So either way, you're outthinking your opponent. If you want to beat mainstream industry, even we've already showed we can beat mainstream media, because alternative media is smoking them in ratings. But nonetheless, if you want to beat mainstream media or mainstream industry, the way to do it is to use their trash against them, turn their trash into treasure, buy recycled products as opposed to their products, and whenever their money starts to fall down, you'll see them start to want to change. And if they bring back the return for deposit, you might get to the point where you have to retire your business to some extent, or even have to slow down a bit because you're not getting as much trash as you used to get. You see what I'm saying? But now you got what you started off to get, and then you've got industry to work responsibly with nature as opposed to what they've been doing now. The products are out there. Patty mentioned earlier the hemp products. There's like 50,000 different products you can make out of hemp. Don't ask for permission. Just make it. And if you can't get it done with hemp, Thomas mentioned kudzu that grows up, and it's annoying as heck because it grows fast. You can do the same thing. And so if those two particular products can do it, then there's probably other ones out there. Who knows? Itchy weed and poison ivy might be... might be profitable, but turning trash into treasure is not science fiction, it's science fact, because everything out there has a use, regardless. You see what I mean?
Yep.
I'm just saying, man, I hope people are paying attention. If you really want to take this to the next level, get together in your local communities, assess all the problems you got, look around at everything and see, look, we got resource right here that we didn't realize we had before. You know, one aluminum can by itself ain't that big of a deal. But if you got a family, a community of 300 or 400 people that's generating one apiece per day or maybe more, pile those into a deal and start making tokens out of them, or even smash them and recycle them for money-wise that you can put back into the community to work on projects, you'd be surprised at how much money that you can pull off of your trash. And how many times that you could recycle everything from paper all the way to plastics and metals and tins of all different types. It's possible. And if every community thought like that, at one point there were cities that actually made it mandatory to recycle.
Oh yeah, you get a fine if you didn't recycle it.
Yeah, but they blew it all out of the water because when they, number one, people didn't like to do it because they were forced to do it. And number two, the people that were doing it weren't doing it responsibly enough to make a difference, and so the recycling thing kind of went on by the wayside.
Yeah, you know, they did the fines and everything, because they did it in Virginia. What they claimed is that they gave you so much off your water bill so that you could rinse your bottles and stuff out and put them in the thing. And if you had your little containers weren't out there, then your water bill went up. There wasn't no court about it. It wasn't nothing.
Well, there ain't one single thing out there that can't be reused. Nature does it all the time. Everything, there is not... See, man is so doggone arrogant, it drives me nuts. Because we think that we can make things that will last forever. And if you leave it alone long enough, if nature gets a hold of it, I tell you what, it don't matter what it is, including plastic. Nature will deteriorate it down. Highly refined radioactive material, nature will break it back down. Everything will find its balance. And the problem that we got as humans is we don't always have time to wait for nature to clean it up. We should be out there assisting nature, especially in this day and age where there's so much trash being generated, so much crud being put into the system. And so, you know, there come a time when nature just says, like, you know, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, but you guys, you're out of luck. You ain't got no fresh air to breathe. You ain't got no food to eat. And y'all, see you later. Nature will shake us off like a bad set of fleas. All right, this system is amazing. The Earth is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. It's a thermoelectric generator. It has energy overabundance. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking, period. I mean, these folks...
You know where a lot of the waste is? It's in packaging.
Sure.
You buy a thumb drive. The package is 20 times larger than the thumb drive. Okay, it's got a box. It's got a plastic view window and all the paper, three or four different pieces of paper, plus this instructions that nobody ever reads and all this other stuff. Man, it's a bad waste. They've got so much packaging around everything. And you buy something in a box, you notice that it's only partially clear, part down, and then the top part makes it look like your product is bigger, and it is not. That's just air. And they're shipping bulk. And all of that winds up in the land. You go down the road and you're looking at it, you know, on trash day, you see how much trash people are putting out on the side of the curb. And you measure that in bulk, and you look at it and you say, okay, in this whole town, that must... All the trash would basically fill up about three city blocks up probably about 12, 15 feet. And that's every week. And they do that all over the world. How much trash is actually generated by this bulk extra packaging for nothing and plastic?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Stephen Gibbons said, I have...
Oh, your...
excuse me. Stephen Gibbons said, I have said this many times, if resources were as scarce or as limited as they make it out, built-in redundancy would be illegal and everything would be made from the strongest, hardest, longest-lasting materials available and handed in to a recycling point when the product is no longer needed or is made obsolete due to advancements.
Make the money that way. You can't make money that way in the industry. Not anymore.
Yeah, but see, look.
When I was in robotics, I had a prosthetic robotic arm with all, you know, and I designed circuitry to to figure out the nerve codes and stuff like that, so this thing could actually work and go through. I had it all set out, all figured out, and I'm not going to go into the full story, but when it came down to figuring it out, we were going to send one part to one company, then another part to another company to have them manufacture it. That's so they couldn't figure out what I was doing and try to get a patent on it before I did it, which the robotics instructor did for me. So I lost out. But the thing was, you know, when I said, well, what are we going to make this out of? And he said, you know, this part's going to have to be made this and this. And I said, well, which parts are we going to make what out of? He said, well, which part do you want to wear out first? I said, it's a prosthetic arm. The guy's going to drive down the road, and he don't want his arm to go out. I don't want the parts to break. He says, well, then you're not going to make any money.
Well, that's why I say kick industry to the curb. We don't need industry. We need the average Joe to realize if you want to take the power that you've been hollering about, it's easy to sit around and say save the trees with a wooden stick and a paper sign. It's a little bit more effort to get out there and plant a tree. That's what you need to do. You need to get out there and plant a tree. And if you're worried about the environment, then you need to take the trash instead of putting it in the normal trash. Put it into a new system that is going to benefit your neighborhood and your community to the extent that now you no longer have trash land all over your deal. You ain't got broken bottles all over the side of the road. Imagine you're standing there minding your own affairs and one of those city mowers comes by, hits one of those broken bottles and slings it up in your face or your kid's face. There's a lot of reasons why to do what it is that we're saying to do, and the biggest reason is so that you can get control and take that control away from the mainstream industries, put some money back into your pocket, put some roads together in your own communities. Look, my grandpa used to say, if you want something done, you got to get up and do it yourself. If you're waiting around for industry to come around to a come to Jesus moment, they ain't going to happen. They want the money. They want the power. They want to do it as cheaply as possible so they can make as much money as they can. And every time anything happens that basically picks into their wallet, that's when you get their attention. So when you started buying solar panels, they tried to figure out a way to regulate you back into the system. And that's why, because you were not paying them, you were paying yourself. And with this particular deal as well, they'll try to do the same thing. Once you get your systems all set up, they will try to figure out a way to get their piece of the pie. And if their piece of the pie means they put back on the bottles return for deposit, then you still accomplished the same goal, and you already had all the benefits of doing what it is that you did. You live in a clean community, and now your mainstream industry, in order to keep up with the work that you've been doing, they're going to have to change their ways, and that's how you beat them at their own game. It's as simple as that.
That's right. You got to hit them in the wallet.
That's right. So we got the solutions, folks. We need people to come to the table with us. We need to see those chat rooms so plugged up that they finally seize up, and we got to buy a larger chat room. We need to get people on the microphones. We need to get, when you start these projects and you do them, come tell us your story, how it worked out for you. And if there was a problem in the deal, we figure out a solution to resolve that problem so you can keep on rolling without losing a step. So with that said, it's time to go around the table. Patty, you got anything last you want to tell everybody?
Well, Stephen put something in the chat that I'd like to have a little response to. He said, I have seen this many times. If resources were as scarce or as limited as they make out, built-in redundancy would be illegal, and everything would be made from the strongest, hardest, longest-lasting materials available and handed into a recycling point when the product is no longer needed or made obsolete due to advancements. Well, this technology, this system is already in place, and we see it in the smaller industries, not the corporate industry. And it is a doable thing. The problem being is this is a profit-driven industry society. So, and it's governed by corrupt, greedy, and weak-minded people, and they're willing to make the laws and economies to support these larger corporations. So we will never see the change that we want from these corporations. The mom and pops, the smaller corporations, the smaller industries that we have, the ones who do the sub work for the bigger industries, these guys, these have a power. And they are doing a lot of recycling, and they are doing a lot of things that are an improvement to the environment. All we need to do now is get the communities involved, because once you get the people themselves awake to the fact that they have the power to create the solutions for all the problems that we face. You know, the community, getting the people together and working together and supporting these smaller industries who are doing the right thing, we can change the whole world. We can change the whole face of the corporate nature. We can take it down and rebuild it. But we got to do it from the ground. We got to do it from our communities and supporting the people who are doing something. It's very important to do that. So that's what I want to
say. I agree. And if you know people that small companies that do that kind of stuff, get us a name and we'll put a list of really good companies out there that are trying to work in harmony with nature, and you could build yourself a shopping list. Go buy from them instead of the other ones. You know, that's the simple of it. It's, folks, I'm telling you, this can be done. But it ain't ever going to be done by any representation out there. It ain't going to ever be done by any mainstream industries. You know, the little guys out there in business, like she said, got a lot of power. You support those folks that have that power. You take the power into your own communities, and you ain't sending no more trash out of your town into the dump. You're taking every bit of your trash and turning it into treasure. Turning it into something of value, something of use. And that's what this whole idea is about. And it's just an idea until somebody takes that idea and runs with it. So what about you, Muddy?
Yeah, if we didn't have the corporations and corporate and everything sitting there worrying about, oh, you've got a hybrid car. Oh, you got an electric car. Well, we're going to have to tax you more. Oh, you've got solar panels? Yeah, well, we're going to have to tax you more than you make off them solar panels. If we didn't have all that, we'd go back to, you don't need money? Then how are we going to tax you? It's the same old point.
You know what'd be funny, Muddy?
You get rid of the corporate greed, we'll be doing fine. We did well before we had it.
You know what'd be funny?
In 1913, we was all making money, and we all made money. Nobody got taxed. They made schools. They fought wars. They did everything, and they took care of themselves, all without all that tax and without all that industry crap.
You know what'd be funny, Muddy?
Everybody made money, and they took it all home. Now that they taxed the living piss out of us, they're trying to kill us, and they're putting crap in our food to kill us.
So stop letting them do it.
And they're tearing up the planet, and they got technology that every time they use it, it's a big risk that they might be tearing up the whole planet. So.
Well, look, we know their flaws, but what would be funny is to whenever the tax man shows up, you hand him a fistful of these recycled tokens and say, "We're doing our job, what are you doing?" Alright? And so, it can be done. It's got to be somebody, a lot of people that really care, that really want to try to do it. I'd like to see one small town started off out there, started off in your own community, start building your own recycled-based zero waste project in your own neighborhood, and find all the solutions. Heck, if you got any kind of question about anything, call us up. We got enough smart people around here. We can give you ideas, and you can take those ideas and run with them.
For this idea. What idea makes this go viral? Because that's the only thing that's going to do it.
Well, people make it go viral. When people find something and they take it to heart, you taking Somebody make a hashtag.
Anything you enjoy, you will excel at. What you don't enjoy, it's next to impossible to learn. So, in order to get the people informed, you must entertain them.
Well, look.
If you entertain them, you can make it go viral. So put that thought off your mind and come back and let's see what we can do.
All right, look.
And think about the health benefits of cleaning up the environment.
Oh, yeah.
I'm exactly. Reposting. Are you
sick and tired of being sick and tired? I am.
Yeah, I'm reposting in all three of the chat rooms on the superchat.html. I'm reposting a deal that says, ask Shaziz Radio about Zero Waste Project and Elemental Economy and Free Energy. If you take and post that on your Facebook, everybody listening in there, post this on your Facebook, and the people who are interested actually come here and listen to what it is that we've been saying, then there's going to be our chance to send this thing out viral to all the environmentalists. If you have an environmental website and you're listening in, post this comment and link on your site and bring people here to the table so that we can try to get this to spread out everywhere. Put it on a business card or, a recycled piece of paper and hang it in your laundry mats or on a pole somewhere. Show them there's people out here with some good ideas, and if we can take these good ideas and we can put them into action, then the solution becomes a true solution, and you can turn your trash, you can turn the industry's trash into the actual solution itself. There's money to be made in trash, otherwise that company wouldn't have that beautiful piece of property that they got over there that when you drive by, you don't know it's a dump.
So we call it trashing the industry, huh?
Yeah, we could trash the industry with our own trash.
Yeah.
It's possible. There it is.
Thank you, Patty, for coming in here. You're the man. I mean, the lady.
Thank you for having me, guys. I really enjoy it.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Patty. You're one of the honorable knights of the round table. You never get away from that.
I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to be left out of this group. I really am honored to be a part of it, guys. Brilliant minds.
Well, we're honored that you're here with us. Everybody, if you can, copy that link. It says, ask Shaziz Radio about Zero Waste Project and Elemental Economy and Free Energy, and it has a link to the Super Chat room, and bring them here to hear what we have to say.
Already done.
Alright, so with that said, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and we hope you come back and visit us and tell your friends about us. If you like the podcast and share them around, and if you want to rebroadcast it, cut it, chop it, take all the best parts of every show that you want and do whatever you want with it, because
ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call a scene to put work impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and scram a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're all so mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the Pramalot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible, always looking to serve the terrible and the knights of the round table.